Hello and welcome to another episode of ESG Voices. This podcast series addresses the opportunities and challenges within ESG through interviews with ESG specialists from KPMG and beyond. Throughout this series, we'll discuss a broad range of environmental, social, and governance issues, aiming to support governments, businesses, and communities in creating an equitable and prosperous future. For today's special International Women's Day episode, we've brought together a panel of distinguished female ESG leaders who will share their inspiring stories and perspectives on their career so far, including the challenges and opportunities they've experienced, the advances in the industry, and the role women play in ESG. Joining me in this conversation are Daisy Sheen, Head of ESG KPMG in China, and Maura Hodge, US Sustainability Leader, KPMG in the US. Thanks for joining me today. Perhaps we can start at the beginning. Can you each tell us about your career journey so far, where your career began and the moves you've made to reach where you are today? Maura, can I come to you first?
My career began with KPMG and it continues to be with KPMG. I have to admit, there were multiple times throughout my career where I thought about shifting gears, potentially going back to school and getting a PhD, but really KPMG has been amazing in offering me a number of different opportunities to be able to explore and pursue my passions. So coming out of college, I knew that I wanted to go into auditing. The Enron scandal had happened the year that I needed to choose my major. And so I went with accounting and auditing. And then by my senior year of college, I was really struck by a strategy class where I learned about corporate responsibility. And that was an incredibly powerful thing for me in driving where my career ultimately ended up. So I started out in financial statement audit. I did that for 6 or 7 years, but had the opportunity in 2010 to actually start up our climate change and sustainability practice in the US. So executed on our first ESG assurance engagement at the time and really got to work with a number of companies that were on the forefront of sustainability and ESG at that time. I will admit it was my nights and weekends job for a decade where I was still leading financial statement audits, working with early stage startups in the life sciences industry and helping them go public. But then in 2021, I was able to step into a full-time role around ESG and help lead our audit practice to where it is today, thinking about ESG assurance, and now am the overall leader of our sustainability practice in the US, which crosses audit, tax, and advisory.
And Daisy, can you tell us about your career journey?
I am a KPMG baby. I joined KPMG right after graduation in 2000. I basically so far have covered almost all service lines and career aspects within the KPMG platform over the past 25 years. This year is going to be the 25th year since I joined KPMG. People wonder why I stay in on this platform so long, right? So I think that my career started as a TS professional. And after that, I had the opportunity to get on secondment to KPMG UK. Originally, intention was to be trained as a TS professional in the UK in 2008. And then when I arrived there, the financial crisis started. So I had basically a very quiet time when I started my secondment. And then I got the opportunity to work for a global chairman's office, supporting the global chairman and the global deputy chairman as their chief of staff. So going to the UK was the first time I got to work in overseas office. And what I thought was that why not, right? Why not take the opportunity? So after the interviews, I got that job to work as an executive assistant to the global deputy chairman at that time. So I work in the global chairman's office with other senior managers, supporting the global projects and gain a lot of experience beyond outside. I would say outside box experience in managing the global projects and also managing the global board meetings and also other initiatives. That was really out of box experience, but I gained a lot in terms of how you work global, develop the kind of mindset of collaboration and how you work with the global team and also to influence without authority. After that, I came back to China in 2011 and started the energy practice in advisory from scratch. So after a few years, and I continue, I think my career in KPMG is that every 3 to 4 years, I move on to another field to start. So I'm more like a pioneering type of person, right? So and I gain experience in the corporate finance, and also I work as the COO of Global China Practice, and then move to strategy. When we initially, firstly established the business in ESG in KPMG China, and I was asked by our senior management to see whether DAISY you can start support building the ESG practice in China in 2021. So I think, why not, right? Because ESG is the future, right? And also, the given the regulation and client needs, I think this is something that I should learn and engage with. So in 2021, I supported the head of ESG of KPMG China as the number two to recruit people and build the ESG practice. And so far, it's the fourth year. We started year five. I think we built a very solid foundation, and now I succeeded and took a role as the head of ESG of KPMG China in November 2024.
Thanks, DAISY. And what are some of the barriers you've each faced in your careers, and how did you overcome those barriers?
One of the hardest times in my career was when I started having kids. I think a lot of moms will resonate with that. But what I found to be so beneficial and valuable at the time was that our human resources partner, who was responsible for making sure that all of our jobs were being resourced appropriately and managers were given opportunities to progress their career, he actually took me and 3 or 4 other new moms out to dinner one night and just asked us, what do you need? How can I help you? How can I make sure that you can be successful? And just having that open conversation and creating that community was hugely beneficial to me. And I think that sometimes is a barrier that many women feel in their career. And I think having that conversation early on and knowing what our options were and where we needed to go and what we needed to do to be able to continue to move up in our career and be successful was really beneficial. And so I would say for any allies out there, please, please do that when you are in a place of power or have the opportunity to work with new moms. But also, if you're in that position, feel free to reach out and to seek those opportunities from people who can help you navigate.
To be honest, I think I haven't really encountered the barriers, if it is like a barriers and difficulties, because I think that with a can-do attitude, and also I know what is satisfying myself is three things, right? The first one is pioneering. I'm not the kind of person that always like stay in my comfort zone. I just give you a metaphor, right? So if you want to move further, you got 2 legs and 2 feet. So the way to move out of your comfort zone is that always have 1 foot in the comfort zone and 1 foot outside the comfort zone. That's how you keep walking and then expanding your comfort zone. I think that's always how I develop my career in these aspects. That's the pioneering. The second one, I think what motivates me is sharing. As a person, I have limited bandwidth and expertise. So what I need to do and I gain most is the work relationship that I established with my boss, with my subordinates, with my peer partners, and also with the client. So I think by sharing that, you can basically pass on and also help the team develop the capability and you see them growing. So that's basically what I have gained in terms of pleasure and career satisfaction. It's not so much about the title or so much about the seniority. Is sharing and developing. So that's why you can see that I, established the ENR team, established ESG team. I think that's the sharing. So reduce the ego, and sharing is most important. The third one, I think, is lifelong learning, right? So as KPMG professional, you cannot stay where you are because things develop quickly. And also in particular for ESG, there's no established methodology that we can use for 5 or 10 years. You have to keep learning about the sector issues, about the regulations, about how the company changed. I think these are the 3 advantages or strengths I have built during the past years with KPMG, which contributed to the success and progression of me as an individual and also as a leader, pioneering different value propositions for KPMG as a firm.
Maura, turning to you quickly as you stepped into the KPMG US Sustainability Lead role in October, what's been your vision and approach to leading this pivotal time in ESG?
Well, this has been a pivotal time for ESG, but I would also say it's a time of great uncertainty. We see the political landscape changing really quickly, and it's really hard for our clients and for us to navigate often. But our overarching vision is to simplify and cut through all the noise as much as we can and assist and support our clients where we can in these areas. So at the moment, a lot of that looks like focusing on regulations that are out there and helping companies work through regulatory-driven transformations in their organization, whether that's around reporting or strategy setting and implementation. But really where we're trying to help our clients is move towards a world where they understand that the reporting that they're doing and the work that they're doing around sustainability and ESG are ultimately driving value for their company and for the world. And so how does that mitigate risk to them, mitigate impacts to the environment, and really enhancing opportunities that they as an organization can take advantage of? So really helping our people and our clients understand how to get to that value creation point and encouraging people to continue to work forward and make progress where they can. A lot of people ask me if I'm a glass half full or a glass half empty person, and I've actually taken to saying the glass has water in it and we need to continue to fill it up. And I think that's where we are right now, is we need to keep chipping away, identifying those actions that will be a drop in the glass so that we ultimately get to a completely full glass someday and hopefully in the near future.
Thanks, Maura. And what's been your approach to balancing personal and professional life?
There is no such thing as balance, I think I would say. I am naturally a person who likes to say yes to everything and take on every project that I find even just the slightest bit interesting. And so that's both in my personal and in my professional life. And so what I have learned to do is really integrate the two. And I know that that doesn't work for everybody, but it has worked for me and the way that I approach life. And so a lot of what my days look like right now is I get up early in the morning, I'll get some work done for a couple of hours. I'll take my kids to school. I have calls kind of in the morning and at night because I'm working in a global role. And so fitting in both home life and work life throughout the day where I can. I'm doing a lot of traveling as well. And so having support and having people in my life, both a nanny as well as family, who are willing to pitch in and help close the gaps where needed, has been really important to me. And then also making sure that I'm taking care of myself and carving out time to spend with friends and talk about things that are not work-related or family-related, but just things that I enjoy and ways that we can connect and progress. I would say that as I was coming out of my second maternity leave, the most important thing that I did for myself was look at different areas of my life that I knew I wanted to continue to work on and to continue to progress. So, you know, both professional as well as with my family, as well as spiritual, and set intentions in each of those areas for the year. And I found that setting intentions either on an annual basis or now I actually do it on a monthly basis helps me stay focused and identify those things that are really important to make sure that I feel maybe not balanced, but as a happy person and not necessarily just being so focused on progressing towards one particular goal.
Thanks, Maura. And Daisy, can I put the same question to you?
To me, I think as someone who have been working in KPMG for 2.5 decades, it's very hard to say, well, this is my personal or professional life. I would not probably put that is that seeking the work and life balance. To me, I think sometimes work is life and sometimes life is work, right? In my mind, a lot of things, issues coming out or excitement coming out, satisfaction are from work. So I do not separating that is this is my lifetime and this is my work time. So how to balance it? I think it's important to look into what is your intention. right? Is your intention to get work done, and then, you know, give all that you can to get the work done. And after that, enjoy the personal life. It's like they always say, work while you work, play while you play. This is the way to be happy and gay, right? So I think that's my thinking and approach about the work and life balance.
And Daisy, how have you or have you seen women champion advances in ESG?
I recently joined a program by the WBCSD called the LEAP program, L-E-A-P program, where students, we established, I would say the cohort are all women, all women leadership in the sustainability across the world. So this is the best opportunity so far I have gained working with the women leadership in sustainability. I think the role of the chief operating officer is like a project manager. A lot of roles like for the chief sustainability officer championing the ESG is that they have to do it because they do not have resources, right? They have to coordinate, persuade, and collaborate with other people to move forward the ESG agenda. What I have observed is that they have tremendous passion and also patience, as well as from a women perspective, they have their way to get things done, right? So I think the influence part and also I think the perseverance are very, very important. The other thing is what we all discuss, a common theme coming from the LEAP program is that how can we make us dispensable rather than indispensable? It's basically building the platform according with the resources, persuasion, and also, you know, how you gain the trust. So eventually, I think the goal is that with the women leaders, I think they, through their traits, I wouldn't say that they're women leaders and have, you know, significant differences from the male leaders, but I think biggest gain, I think, is really to how they see the world from the diversity perspective, how they consider things can be done, are kind of providing the advantage. And also, I think the huge patience and passion, I think, is, you know, standing out. As a women leader, I think my advantage or my label or people consider Daisy is a passionate female leader. Without the passion, I think it's very, very hard to get things done without your genuine intention and a passion to move things forward.
I have been so fortunate to work with so many women in this space. It's actually been a little bit unbelievable. When I first started our ESG audit center of excellence in the US firm, I actually was surrounded by only women leaders. There were six of us, six partners, all females. And of course, that attracted a lot of other women into our center of excellence to really build up and build out the work that we were doing in that space. And so it has been just an incredible opportunity, I think, for women to step up into an area where maybe there is some uncertainty and we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, but a place where it is growing and we also have the opportunity to live out our values and to make a difference in the world, as well as a difference in our teams. And I think that's been one of the most exciting things that I've been able to encounter in working in ESG.
In your experience, what do you think makes a great leader? Daisy, can I come to you first?
I think the three things, right? The pioneering, I would say always put your interest in the first place, but also think what is the right thing to do for the firm, for the team. That basically help you establish very genuine intention to do work. The second one is, you know, sharing and developing team. It's not that me, right? It doesn't work if you just say, I am a super excellent person. I think great leader is to elevate the people around you to support them to achieve their potential and have the empathy, understand where things are and why things doesn't work, really to support other people and sharing, developing other people. The third one is lifelong learning. We have to keep learning. We cannot just rest and then, you know, based on what we have learned.
And Maura, can I come to you for your thoughts?
I think a great leader is somebody who can stay steady in the face of uncertainty, adversity, complexity, or even some sort of disaster. They need to be able to take in the information and understand how to chart a course forward and get the group that is around them to all have the same mission and move in the same direction. Because without people, you can't get anything done and you can't be successful. And so understanding what motivates people, how you can tap into their skills and their capabilities and put them in places where they are really living into what makes them really successful is, I think, all really critical things that make a great leader.
To wrap up our conversation today, and based on your career journey and experience so far, can I ask each of you to pass on some advice to the next generation of ESG female leaders? Maura, can I come to you first, followed by Daisy?
I think the best piece of advice that I've ever received is define success for yourself. And especially in the world of ESG, where things are continuously changing and there isn't necessarily a good definition of what it is or how to be successful in ESG. I think setting your sights high, but to something that is actually achievable and takes into consideration the environment around us is really important. So if I had any advice to give, it is you can be successful if you define it in a way that is both ambitious but also reasonable.
I think EST sometimes could be lonely. You feel it's a lonely journey, especially when maybe different firms or different industries have their different stage of establishing ESG. So always have a very strong belief and a good intention to do things. That will calm your mind and also have a very clear purpose of what you're doing. So I think that's my first suggestion. The second suggestion is, I think I used to be a transaction professional, right? So what do I do in the transaction? You buy and sell. You basically involve two parties to do buy and sell. And then if they strike the deal, and you're done, right? So your project is finished. But for ESG, I would say it's more like leveraging. So what we're doing in the ESG is really to build capabilities and scale. And what we're doing, we're supporting companies to take green actions and as well as build a more sustainable world for the future. So I would say the same. I think the ESG, they need to learn how to leverage, right? How to leverage others, how to keep on learning and also collaborate. But through the ESG, I think the biggest gain for me is really to make a huge impact from what we do. So I think having the purpose, have the clear intention, and have necessary skill sets and lifelong learning will be very critical. The last one I think is always important is someone, I was a very young partner. I always react to things, right? But, you know, the responsibility is the ability to respond. So do not rush, right? Do not be anxious. I think the thing I learned is that always ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Because a lot of things, especially in ESG, right? And also in general in the career, if you wait for people to give you permission, you open yourself to, it's safe, right? It's safe. But also you open yourself to the vulnerability that your life is controlled by other people. But I think if you think this is the right thing to do, just go ahead and do it. If other people don't like it, they can tell you off. You can, you know, take as a learning, or you can say, I don't really care. But ask for forgiveness, take actions, and instead of ask for permission, I think that will be very important, in particular for women leaders.
Daisy and Maura, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time today and your openness and sharing your experiences with us today. Join us again next time for more insights from ESG leaders and innovators. You can also find the latest KPMG insights covering a range of ESG topics by visiting kpmg.com/ESG. Thanks for listening.